And I tell you what, the moment that you and I come to grips with the fact that you and I often carry burdens that we should not be carrying is because we are not being disciples of Christ. We're following something or someone else.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, May 26th, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Discover Jesus, and our text comes to us from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
So this morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different in my message. I have some things that I have written down that I may read directly, but it's a way of asking you a question and trying to elicit an answer from you. And the question that I have for you is, who are you following? Reading earlier this week on rugged individualism, which is one of the characteristics, so-called, of the American way of life. John Wayne, I am self-sufficient and I can do all things through myself that strengthens myself, And I suppose that rugged individualism is something that has been deployed as a concept of our society here in this country. And in others have tried to emulate it. And I believe in personal responsibility. And I believe in making an assessment of your life and making decisions. But the funny thing is that everybody is following something or someone. That there is not just a thing as a person who is by himself or for himself, that there's something else that they're following. Maybe they're following their own ego. I haven't gone down deep. But my question to you is, who are you following? In the last few weeks, we've been dealing with the Sermon on the Mount and the impossibility of reaching that moment in our lives where we can fulfill it experientially. But we talked about the fact that in order for us to even get closer to loving our enemies and even to get closer to not to covet and even to get close to all those things that Jesus says that we are to do as we're in his kingdom, it needs time and development and effort from our part. And we talked about that important aspect of our life that we gear ourselves, we remove the obstacles in our lives and we become men and women of God's kingdom pursuing a life that is different from the rest of the world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that we worry so much about will be added unto you, but they will be added unto you by God's power. Amen. But God's power is never void of God's character. So what it means is that when you love somebody, you are actually deploying God's character because God is love. And so there is a behavioral transformation in your life and in your heart. But even more than behavioral transformation, there is a different set of concerns that have become front and center. And you and I need to follow Jesus. Yet you're following something or someone. So who are you following? And so in Luke 9:23, Jesus brings this incredible statement, what it means to follow him. So we can have it in the screen right now, and you can read it with me. Then he said to them all, who? All of them. If anybody would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, how do we begin this? It is an incredible statement from Jesus, because Jesus is not saying, you follow me, you're going to have a wonderful time. He is incredibly direct and straightforward that following him will require certain conditions for true discipleship. Now let me read some stuff that I have here. I can say this to you from the bottom of my heart, that I have found myself and others that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the most incredible human being that ever existed in this world. For as long as I can remember, I have been reading and diving into the depths of literature and traveling through all the different eras and all the minds of history, greatest thinkers. I've been reading about them, and others in this room have done that. And every book and every idea has really been a window into the complexities and the difficulties and the wonders of human thought. I mean, it's unbelievable how people have come up with such incredible thoughts and have processed situations and have said, this is the way. And also, I have admired the brilliance of many of the ancient philosophers of yesterday, all the way to contemporary leaders of today, and they have left a mark in my life because I've heard them. I understand where they're coming from. This human knowledge is unbelievable. Yet in the midst of all of the intellectual thinkers and richness of our time, one truth has come through without any problems, that Jesus of Nazareth is unmatched by any one of them. Jesus Christ has no rival. Jesus Christ is the epitome of knowledge. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Categorically, there is nobody that can compete with Jesus. No one. His teachings not only offer to you and to me logical coherence, philosophical depth, that astounds the great thinkers of yesterday and today, but it also has a beauty attached to God's word that tugs into your heart, that it goes into the deep fibers of your being. When you read God's word, there's something in there that the more you study it, the more you reflect on it, the more you understand that no one can match the wits, the strength, and the knowledge, and the power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Somebody needs to know this, that the smartest guy that ever lived was Jesus Christ. Amen. He's a smart guy. No one can be smarter than him. And sometimes we don't think of Jesus being smart, but he's very smart. And very creative too, by the way. He created the heavens and the earth. And you're sitting in a chair that God created through the atoms. I mean, that's what Jesus has done and continues to sustain the universe by the power of his word. Amen. So his words, however, as you go into God's word, not only does it speak to the mind, but have you noticed how when you read God's word, it speaks to your heart? It goes more profoundly. It's more than just an intellectual concept. It goes into the root of who you are. And it offers a worldview. It offers a way of thinking through that is quite, quite intricate and sophisticated and yet very simple to understand. You want me? Follow me. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Follow me. It's profound and yet it's practical. Let me give you something very profound and very practical. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Who said that? Jesus. Profound words that go deep into the heart. And yet it's a combination of truth and love. It shows you how much he loves you. It shows you how much he cares for you. But it also tells you the truth. Have you sometimes a problem in telling people the truth? Jesus never had a problem in telling you the truth with love. That's why the admonition of Paul and the apostles was to speak the word in love, the word of truth in love. He also is justice, but he's also merciful. He knows all about us, but he still requires things of our lives. And yet, astonishingly, he's beautiful. He's wonderful. He's merciful. He's tender. He understands. He knows. He penetrates the veils of our life. And he says, I live here too. There's nothing you can hide from him. There's nothing that you can take away in being in the presence of the Lord and say, he didn't catch this. He catches everything. It's not to condemn you, but to show you that he wants to invite himself into your life in ways that will bring you meaning and it will bring purpose. Who are you following today? Every day, you and I, you know, confront the challenges and the complexities of life. And I tell you, I don't care where I am, I find complexities and difficulties in life. How about you? All of a sudden you thought you had this thing figured out and something comes up and, here we go again. But amazingly, no matter what is thrown at me or what is thrown at you for that matter, the teachings of Jesus will always point the way forward. Yes. Did you catch that? Jesus will point a way forward. He doesn't leave you stuck in the mud, even when you made the mud. He shows you a way out. Paul says that there is no temptation or trial that comes upon you or upon me that he does not provide a way of escape. In other words, in many ways, I should say, is a setup for growth and development. When you go through the trials that you go through, financial, social, marital, whatever, it's an opportunity for you to see the Lord working in your life. So it doesn't really matter when if you kind of get sidetracked. If you go to the left or you go to the right, there's a Lord who always points north. God's word will always give you true north. It will show you, this is the way you're supposed to go. That's why the Bible says if you follow him, don't go to your right, don't go to your left. I don't think it means politically, but anyway, we'll leave it like that. Don't go to the right, don't go to the left. But it says to seek him, to follow him, because he will direct your steps. But even more important, in the midst of the issue that you and I face today, he gives to you meaning and existence. He gives to you purpose. I don't know about you, but when I live for the Lord, as we all live for the Lord, it suggests that there is a constant guidance in any situation that comes upon me. Regardless of the circumstances, when I follow him, when I endeavor to follow him, no matter what the circumstances, when I pay attention and I listen, he provides personal, very personal and internal guidance, direction. How many have heard the voice of the Lord in your heart lately or where you say, Lord, how am I going to get out of this? Because we all talk to ourselves. You know that. How many talk to yourselves? As long as you don't answer yourself, that's okay. But we all talk to ourselves. And we say, Lord, how am I going to move from this moment in my life to the next one? What am I going to do? And I'm telling you, when you follow Jesus, he will speak the word to your heart. He will show you what you are to do. I remember when we first came to this country as an immigrant. I still feel like I'm an immigrant because I don't think that I will ever finish being an immigrant here. I know the uncertainty and the constant struggle that you're trying to find your way. You're trying to walk through all kinds of things. But what has helped me and continues to help me is that Jesus has been my guide. I have not followed a culture. I have followed Jesus in the culture. I just said to you something so powerful that you should be standing up and applauding and whistling and screaming. Thank you. Whoever whistled, it's okay. Oh, thank you. But see, we sometimes want to change culture when in reality, God changes us to live in that culture. And his message to you and to me provides unconditional love. And there's that inner transformation we've been speaking about that not only guides your path, but it gives you great joy because you got something going for yourself. What do you have going? You have an incomparable advantage. Jesus is the one you're following and nobody else but Jesus. You know, we have a world full of noise. Lots of noise. And a lot of people want to give you a vision for your life. This is how it should be, you know. This is what life is all about. But I am immensely and profoundly thankful and grateful that you and I, by following Jesus of Nazareth, we have a light that shines correctly in the path that we are to go. That we don't need to improvise. The Lord is there to show us how to do it. So when you go to the Sermon on the Mount and it speaks about prayer, there's no magic in prayer. It gives you specific instructions how you should pray. He said, don't be like the, you know who. But as you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. All of a sudden, our requests go beyond this earthly space and it goes directly into God's presence. And the maker and sustainer of the universe is our Father. Talk about relationship. And then he says, hallowed be thy name. We want to honor you, God. Your name is holy and sacred. And yet often we find ourselves not having our Father being hallowed, honored, respected. We have a world of voices and visions. But when you begin to tune in to the voice of God and to God's direction in your life, you see a beauty in the Lord that can never, ever stop to amaze you. Because you see the Lord understanding, caring, and providing help and aid in the most unprecedented manner. And he surprises you. The Lord's love is like an ambush. All of a sudden, you are ambushed with love. He loves you eternally and forever. And he provides ways out to live the life you're supposed to live. Oh, that we may all get to know Jesus that way, huh? That Jesus would be beyond just Sunday morning. That Jesus would be more than just simply, well, yeah, I got a religion, you know. That we would know him intimately, that we would follow him. It was Peter. I love Peter. I relate to Peter. How many relate to Peter? He was a big mouth before you say anything. You know? He always jumped the gun, you know. Why is it that none of us are surprised? Because Peter got it right many times. He said in John 6, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He's it. That's it. Why don't you enjoy him more? Take advantage of your position in the Lord and draw from him and make him the center of your universe. I quickly looked at my concordance. You know, every Bible has a concordance. Most of you have your iPhones, and so I'm not going to say much about that. Or whatever, you know. But there's a concordance in the old Bibles. There used to be a concordance, and at the very end, a concordance is when you look at a certain word and that appears in the Bible, it shows you where else it appears. And I quickly did a fast check, and I discovered what I've always presumed to be true, but I discovered it afresh. You know, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are those. And he means a bunch of rascals and people that are misfortune and people who are being treaden down and people who are being in problems. He says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He did not discriminate on anyone's social condition or distinction. But all of them going through whatever they were going through, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They have access to the kingdom of God. It's not because they're poor that they can enter the kingdom of God. The fact is that they're poor and they can still qualify to enter into the kingdom of God. You don't have to be poor to enter the kingdom. It's because you're poor that you can enter the kingdom. That does not disqualify you. The Lord never disqualified you or me. And as I looked at the word, you know, the word follow me in the concordance, I was encouraged and I was challenged because Jesus encountered people in his earthly life. And when they had a desire, Jesus would look at them and say, follow me. follow me. Matthew 8:22, Matthew 9:9, Matthew 19:21, Mark 2:14, 10:21, Luke 5:59, 18:22, John 1:43, John 21:19 and 22. I'm not going to read those. You can look at your concordance and see. He said, follow me. He was indiscriminate. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. You want a better life? Follow me. You want situations resolved in your life? Follow me. But more than that, do you want to know God? Follow me. You want to have life? Follow me. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The thief, he comes to rob, to steal. He wants to destroy you, but I have come that you may have life. For me, the most incredible text is Luke 9:23, when he said, if anyone will come after me, if you're going to follow me, then he says, this is the conditions for following me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Theoretically, in my brain, picking up the cross immediately tells me that I have to have an experience of what it means to follow the Lord. It means that I'm going to have to deny myself. And everybody gets all shook up with that one. You know, I went through introspection, trying to find out who I was and who am I and all that kind of stuff. And I've gone through a lot of that stuff. And it's true, you know, the greatest task you will ever have is to know yourself. And then when you get to know yourself, Jesus says, forget all about it. I got some choice words from Guatemala that I could use now, but I'm not going to do it. The greatest thinkers, know yourself, know thyself. Deny yourself. What do you mean? Well, come to grips with this fact. You don't know yourself until Jesus defines you. Because all of our paradigms, all of our categories are off center. And when you follow the Lord, you need to follow him with the willingness for him to change you into his image. In the second book that I wrote regarding my return to Argentina, I went through the shadows and the storms of time. And it was one of the most difficult, excruciating moments of my life that I will never want to repeat. That's once in a lifetime. Returning back to my home after 30 years of absence and encountering devastation. Trying to escape to a certain degree from ridiculous issues that were going on here. I remember that day that Wilma said to me, why don't you go to Argentina and that way you don't kill anybody, you know, so. It was political, ecclesiastical warfare. Very difficult time. And I got caught in the shadows of time. And I came up from all of it by God's grace, understanding that the most important thing is to hear God's voice and nobody else. But for that, you have to follow him. See, I began by saying that, who are you following? We all follow something or someone. You and I need to follow the Lord. But it means that you then need to adjust yourself on what that really constitutes. That you need to forget everything about yourself and say to the Lord, okay, Lord, what will you have me do? You know what he says, Brother Kim? He says, I want you to be my disciple. What? I thought you wanted me to be a Christian. Nowhere in the Bible do you find that Jesus says, I want you to become a Christian. He says, be my disciple. What? Talking to a supervisor, this is going to get me in trouble. Talk to a supervisor. ¿Qué me importa? Too late. They were talking about church growth, church growth, church growth, church planting, church planting, church growth, church growth. I said, you know, can you find in Scripture anywhere where it says that I'm to go and plant a church? Nowhere. My command from Jesus is go and make disciples. The disciples naturally will plant the churches. What are you doing for disciples in training? Well, we're training so they can plant the church. Oh, you're not training disciples for Jesus. You're training them for the organization. Can you catch this? Am I in trouble? Sorry. So all of a sudden, I understand that taking up my cross and following the Lord, I may not have an easy life, but it will be a life that will fulfill and activate God's will in my life. There will be fulfillment in my life. So I'm going to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, which is what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. It's what we've been talking about all this time. If I learned anything in that time warp of years ago, it was that I carried a disproportionate burden. I had tensions that I never want to go through again. Difficulties that I could not resolve. A maze of trouble and words from Guatemala come to my mind and I'm refraining myself from saying it. They're not bad words, you know, they're just cultural words, whatever that means. And I tell you what, the moment that you and I come to grips with the fact that you and I often carry burdens that we should not be carrying is because we are not being disciples of Christ. We're following something or someone else. Well, Matthew 11, 28, 29, we've talked about this, but I'm trying to conclude, and I will. I listened very well to the words of the Lord. He said in my heart, as he says to your hearts today, he says to all of us today, come to me, all you, all. He didn't say Argentinos or Mexicanos or gringos or lo que sea, all you who are very weary and heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. What? You're not going to be upset because I did some foolish things and I tried to be God when you're God? When I tried to resolve my problems my way? No, he says, come to me and I will give you rest. And then he says, oh, wait, yeah, there's a way. Don't. This is not a magic wand. It's going to require effort on your part, not to get you saved, but effort to enter and to ingratiate yourself with God. Because it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So I am to yoke with Jesus. And he says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I'm going to show you how to live life. You know, the whole metaphor or the reality, actually, of the yoke is you had an older oxen and a younger one, and the older one would guide the younger one. And Jesus is the older one who says, us being the younger ones, he will show you how to love, how to do things, how to work, how to make it work. He says, my burden is light, because he's carrying the load. I wish he had said, I'm going to take away the load. He says, no. Learn of me. I'm going to show you how you carry that. So in conclusion, this morning, to be a disciple of Jesus is to learn from him by solving difficulties of life. How many have difficulties in life? Wait, I'm not done yet with my sentence here. Come to me, you know. Learn from him. We solved it. But also, he causes you to face all your yesterdays. That's tough. And he also shows you how to look at the conflicts you've had with yourself and with others. And he also shows you how those conflicts and those yesterdays and those difficulties wanted to destroy your soul. So I in my short life of experience, though I have a little bit of age creeping up. I saw some white hair the other day. I need to go bleach this thing. By the way, I saw a brother who's aging, and he got some gray hairs, and he went and got a bad job. Just let it grow. Ladies, that does not apply to you. That's just to guys. Yes. But I have come to this conclusion that when you follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he is the one that you will teach you, when you become his disciple, and I'm going to show you in the weeks to come what it means and what is a process by getting close. I have it all. It's all working. It's all being worked out. I'm going to give you, and Jeff is also into this. He does that on Wednesday nights. Men of power, you know what that is about. But we're going to show you ways in which you can effectively take time with Jesus to learn from him. So this is my conclusion, that there is no disgust. I wrote this down. There's no disgust. How many are disgusted with things? Otra vez viene a mi mente la palabra guatemalteca. Because sometimes there is some disgusting things happen. How about irritation? Have you ever been irritated? Don't answer that. No disgust, no irritation, no uneasiness. Maybe you're uneasy right now. Get nervous. How about anxiety? Another word is also anguish, torment. The next word is a good one, discrimination. This other one is for me, politics, church politics. You have to read the book to understand what I'm talking about. Don't worry about it. How about grief? When you've lost something and you don't know how to shake it off. Or any type of family problems. Or conflict with a brother or a sister. None of those things. None of them. That Jesus cannot resolve. I want to learn from him. How do I live this life? How do I love my enemies genuinely? How do I pray and get my prayers answered? And how do I ask God for things and go through the Sermon on the Mount? And how do I do all of that? By learning from him, we become his disciples. And it's not just a religion. It's not just going to church. It's living the life 24/7. And the most amazing thing, that being a disciple of Christ does not mean you're a disciple of Christ on Sunday mornings. You're especially a disciple of Christ on Monday. And Tuesday. And Wednesday. And Thursday. And Friday. And Saturday. And you're not supposed to be a disciple just when you're young. You're also supposed to be a disciple when you're not so young. I'll stop right there. No matter what stage of age life we have, we're called to be his disciples so that there is no disgust or irritation, uneasiness, anxiety. I'll say it again. Anguish, torment, discrimination, ecclesiastical politics, grief of internal conflict towards others that Jesus cannot resolve. So you have to come to him and say, Lord, teach me. Well, Jesus said, come to me. He says, he says, I will show you. Learn of me. Learn of me. I venture to say that between now and the end of the year, if the Lord has us all together here, some of us will be completely transformed and turned around. Some of us will learn ways in which you can access God's power and kingdom that will change your life inside of you. There will be ups and there will be downs. It's a process. It's a relationship with the Lord. It will be ways in which you will be able to change inside only because you're following Jesus. And Jesus is a good teacher. He knows how to teach. We just need how to learn. And if you get an F, you have to take the course again. If you get a C minus, you got to take it again. You know, there is no social promotion in the kingdom of God. I'll quit by saying that when we first came to this country, we were concerned, about my English was bad, and it was in sixth grade going into seventh grade, and they said, we're gonna pass you because you did the grades. But even if you had not gotten the grades, we now believe in what is called social promotion. My parents asked the question, what is social promotion? Oh, we pass you up anyway. That's what we had today. We have people who are in college, don't know how to read or write. I know that. I teach there. Well, happy Memorial Day. How many are following Jesus? You need to make the attempt to do that. There needs to be a decision in your heart. Look, you're going to follow somebody. You're either going to follow the world and all its craziness, or you're going to follow Jesus that he calls you to a life of righteousness and life. I think that's the best bet. So let us pray. So, Lord, we thank you that you can speak to our hearts, and that you can guide us, that you can strengthen us, that in the midst of confusion and in the midst of desperation, if we follow you, it gets resolved. Sometimes, Lord, it gets resolved to our own personal satisfaction of sorts, and yet, because you've asked us to deny ourselves, Lord, we want to resolve the issue according to your will for our lives. Sometimes, Lord, we make mistakes, and you correct us, Lord. Peter made many mistakes, and yet, Lord, you prayed for him that his faith would not fail. Lord, I feel you pray like that for all of us all the time, that our faith would not fail, that you would have us be triumphant in this world. Lord, we take courage this Memorial Day, knowing that you're guarding our country and that you are in charge of the destinies of the world, and that, Lord, there is no kingdom that will ever be able to banish yours. Lord, we know that kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but your name will forever be, and we're part of that assembly, Lord. So strengthen our resolve to serve you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Shall we stand?
Because you died and rose.
my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
How many will say, I'm going to follow the Lord, huh? Follow him, follow him. We'll give you more clues as to how that can happen in a practical way in the weeks to come. So what are you eating today? What are you cooking? Where am I going to go to have lunch? If you have ribs, then I'll go. Don't worry about it. I don't know what kind of cookout, but I was checking the hamburger, and it was very expensive. So I went to Tijuana, and it's even expensive there. But whatever you do, be safe and enjoy the holiday. You take time to honor the Lord and thank God for the troops, our armed forces around the world, those who gave their lives that we may have the freedom to enjoy each other's company in a service like this. All right, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.